God does all these things. And if, since he's predestinating it, it wouldn't make much sense. So at some point, sometimes you have to make a decision. Okay, we got two conflicting scriptures, but how, which interpretation will allow us to be most faithful to what is plainly written before us? Because sometimes you have two things that seem to be plainly written, but we have to ask ourselves if we're reading assumptions into it. And that's one of those cases. But that's really aside from the point here. Heaven is open and a white horse appears. You remember when we talked about the seven seals. First seals was a white horse rider. And he went forth conquering to conquer. The second seal was a red horse rider. There was a red horse rider. And he went out to cause people to make war and to kill each other. And then came the pale horse. And then came the black horse. And then came the pale horse. But I'll tell you what, we talked about those things then, but I see ways in which Christ fulfills all four of those things. Though I don't want to associate Christ with death, but he's bringing a lot of death, isn't he? He's going to dip his garments in blood. He's going to be red. He's appearing on a white horse, and then he's going to be clothed in red. As is written, the blood will come out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle, and he will tread the winepress. And that beautiful passage in Isaiah 63 is all about it. You know, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Basra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are you red in your apparel and your garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be splattered on my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I was stunned that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread the people down in my anger and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their blood to the earth. So, I like to quote that passage here because it so vividly captures the mood. What does it say of the whore? Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death and mourning and famine. He that sits on the horse is faithful and true. Though we are not faithful, he is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promises. You want to, you know, partake of the end time prophetic things? Well, stick to the testimony of Christ. That's what he wants from us, is to testify of the things which God has taught us in his word. And that is the dispute.
From the beginning hath God said.
God is going to set a distinction between those that serve God and those that serve God not. Because right now it's hard to tell the difference. There are a lot of people out there who say they serve God, but they're not serving God. They're serving their own belly. A lot of people, they judge God and God's word based on their guts, based on how they feel about things, based on what their wisdom is, based on what their innermost thoughts and feelings are. But God has said his word according to his will, according to his belly. And in that is the center of his will. And his will is to bring forth his sons. He is faithful to that. He is faithful to the promises he makes, and he is faithful to the judgment which he has promised. He is true. He said he would return. He said all these things would come to pass, and they will come to pass as they are written. He said he would blind them because they received not the love of the truth. He said they would go astray, and they will. The scriptures promised an apostasy. We shall have our apostasy. The scriptures promised that there be prophets to speak out against it, and so we shall. God is righteous to judge and righteous to make war on the world that has made war on his servants. I talk about how God, yes, God has created all things for himself, even the wicked for the evil day. And the devil also, for the purposes of God, he is made. But that does not mean they're unwilling. They're plenty willing. This is what they want to do. You know, God said, oh, Assyria and the rod of mine anger, and the staff in his hand is my indignation. But then later on he says, but he doesn't think so. But it's in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, quite a few. He is not thinking he's serving God's purposes. He's just following what's in his heart. But he is serving God's purposes. So it is in the end, and at all times. The wicked don't think they're serving God's purposes. They think they're defying God. But they have been made as vessels of wrath to do as they do. And they fulfill God's will. God is long-suffering to usward, to his elect, not willing that any should perish. Those who gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And that is often thought of as Judas, and I suppose in a sense you could apply that to him, because he was Satan entered into him. And there will be another expression of Satan entering into a man or entering into this world in a way he has not been in this world. But Christ will deal with him. He will destroy him, as is written, with the brightness of his coming, whom he shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And that's what it says here. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. It speaks in the sixth chapter of Ephesians of the gospel armor, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is our offensive weapon because it slays. That's what the law kills. And the word of God is a law. When the scripture says, for no murderer shall inherit the kingdom of God, there's a law. That's in the New Testament. For no fornicator, no heretic, none of these things. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God being those things. And it cuts. And it slays. And his judgment goes forth. It's a two-edged sword. It is to kill and to save. Because the sword that slays on one side saves on the other. How is that so? Well, the word that slays also gives faith. God is faithful. He is true. If we put our faith in him, we will not be disappointed. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne,